Hello, everyone, and welcome to Michelle Nasser Show, where amazing business insights happen. I'm your host, Michelle Nasser. This podcast is the podcast that will make a difference. It's a total game changer. So please subscribe today, tell your friends and family, and let's all be part of something really great. Our guests will inspire you as they share valuable information which will help you achieve success. Thank you for tuning in today. We're going to have a really great show. I'm so excited to introduce my good friend and special guest, Dr. Robert Levine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
So let me just tell them a little bit about you. So Dr. Robert Levine runs a clinical consulting and forensic psychology practice in Northern Virginia. The practice is devoted to providing psychological evaluations and consultation in areas such as law enforcement and other public safety positions, employers, human resource departments, and employee assistance programs, consultation for attorneys and court systems, immigration law, and other international issues. Wow, that's great. Thank you, and welcome to Michelle Nasser's show.
I am very excited to be here.
Me too. Thank you so much for being my special guest today.
Sure.
I really appreciate you being available on such short notice.
Anything for you, Michelle. For you.
Thank Great. So how's the weather there in Northern Virginia?
It's a little bit it the last few days it has been almost raining. Well, I shouldn't say almost raining. It has been completely raining. I thought Noah was going to be sending the ark.
Wow, that's a lot of rain.
Yeah, for a while today, it was just hot and humid. But then, of course, it started raining again. So we've had a bit of a downpour recently here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hopefully that clears up soon.
Exactly. Yeah, we'd like to have our summer here eventually. So,
Exactly. Great. Okay. So let's get started. Our listeners would love to learn all about you. So let's start off with a little bit about you. Where did you grow up, Rob?
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, the
Oh.
suburbs of Chicago, and I lived there. I pretty much grew up in the same house for the first 18 years of my life until I went to college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then after that, then life got interesting and I started moving all over the United States.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll hear a little bit more about that soon, right?
Right.
so tell me, what is one of your best childhood memories? Were you into any sports or music, or do you have any
Oh,
interesting story?
I loved sports. Huge sports fan.
Okay.
And so I know it's now been almost a year and a half, but I am a lifelong diehard Chicago Cubs fan. In fact, we
Awesome.
won the World Series for the first time in
I know.
2016 is pretty much, I'm still living on cloud nine about that. So I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan. I grew up also, of course, loving, if you're from Chicago, you have to love the Chicago Bears. And it's kind of like required. And then I grew up actually watching I being from Chicago, I sometimes question whether people w were really Bulls fans or Michael Jordan fans. And so I was so I had to say I thought I was a Bulls fan, but I learned I was just a Michael Jordan fan.
Oh, Brad, he's pretty awesome, isn't he?
Yeah, I kind of gave up my Bulls fan card because my wife ended up working for a couple NBA teams, so I started rooting for the teams that she worked for.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, so tell me, how did you get started? What was your first job, actually?
Well, let's see, first job professionally or first job overall?
Well, just your very first job. I'm just curious to see what was the first job that you had. Did you have like a paper route or something? Did you work at McDonald's or?
Think if I was to say the first job that someone actually paid for my services, and where you got like a W-2 kind of thing, not just like, oh, here's a little babysitting thing or cut some grass. I
Right.
was, I guess appropriately, because I've indicated that that I grew up as a big sports fan. I was a little league umpire.
Oh, okay.
I think that was if I remember correctly, that was my first job. And like a lot of first jobs, it sucked.
Right.
So that, yeah, that was my first. I also worked did some work at the preschool at my synagogue. I was also a I also worked at Burger King.
Oh, okay.
So those were a couple of my first jobs that create, let's just say, they did an excellent job of creating humility.
Nice. Yes, that's a good way of putting it. I understand what you're saying. Absolutely.
Yes.
So great. So yeah, tell me a little bit about how you got to where you are now then, and then a brief summary about your business. It sounds really, really interesting. So please tell me.
Okay, so I went to college and I studied psychology. So most people, believe it or not, who study psychology do not become psychologists. Well, I was crazy, no pun intended, and I did become a psychologist. So I got my bachelor's degree in psychology, and a lot of times people, after they get their degree, they go into the working world for a little while, do that sort of thing. Well, I didn't. I got my bachelor's degree, and at age 22,
Oh, great.
I got one right after another, my master's and doctorate at eight, and finally got my doctorate at the ripe old age of 26. So
Wow, really? That's impressive. That's really great.
at the time, a few people referred to me as a sort of a Doogie Howser.
Nice.
Date a few of those people on your show. But long story short, for both those who don't know, there was a show that came out in the late 80s and early 90s called Doogie Howser, and
Yes.
he was a teenage doctor. And so,
Yes.
anyway, so wasn't quite that young, but you get the idea. So
Right. So you're kind of smart, basically. Is that what you're saying?
I grinded it out. I don't know if I'm,
Oh, okay.
but I grinded it out. And
Okay.
so I got my doctorate at age 26, and so that made me actually probably one of the youngest psychologists in the country.
Oh my goodness, that's really impressive.
So now I'm 41 and no one really cares.
I
You and my wife, and you and my wife, as long as the paycheck comes in, do they care?
Right. Awesome. Yeah.
I got my doctorate at age 26, and then I actually had to get my first job. So I got my first job at a federal prison in the sticks of Arkansas.
Wow.
So I got my first job as a psychologist in the federal prison system. And one of the interesting things about working in the federal prison system is that they hire people from all sorts of different disciplines. Some people are correctional officers, some people are teachers, some people are your medical doctors, some people are nurses, secretaries, whatever. Well, just about anybody who works for the federal prison system is considered a law enforcement officer first. So right
Oh.
after I get my doctorate, I actually have to go to get federal law enforcement training. So at the beginning of my career, I was a psychologist and a federal law enforcement officer.
Really?
So
Okay.
basically, what that entailed, among other things, I had to sometimes work housing units and respond to body alarms and that sort of thing, and had to shoot and do that.
Really? Oh my goodness.
So They didn't train that in graduate school.
No, I don't think they did.
No.
No.
A bunch of touchy-feely psychologists. Here, take
it. Right. Yeah, how did you fare? Did you fare very well with that? I mean, I don't know. How was,
Yeah.
were you ever in a really dangerous situation at any time, or?
No, it, I mean, there were, I mean, you can't be stupid, but I guess I kind of look at it like this. You could be, it's probably more dangerous to be walking through some inner city bad neighborhood in, some large city in America,
Right.
than sitting around in a federal prison where basically if something, goes sideways, you basically have a whole bunch of correctional officers running at you. So it's kind of one of those things.
Right.
You can't be stupid about it, but generally speaking, you kind of it just becomes, part of your day.
I guess so, yeah.
So I did that. I did that for 5 years. I did that for 5 years, and then I sort of took the attitude after a while, if the inmates can eventually get out of prison, so can I.
That's a very good perspective.
And by the way, while I was doing that, I was doing a little bit of part-time private practice here and there, but my main bread and butter job was working for the federal prison system. Then I took a job. I left that prison and I took a job in the Washington, D.C. area with the Department of Defense.
Okay.
And my job primarily was to assess people to determine to help them obtain a security clearance.
Okay.
So I had to do I and so I helped actually start the pre-employment psychological assessment program within this particular agency in the Department of Defense.
So when you say start that, you mean they didn't have an assessment, an existing assessment up until then, or?
You are correct, Michelle.
Wow, oh my goodness. So you started that. You're part of that.
Right. And
So what
so
did they do before? They just everyone was good to go? I mean.
no, I mean they did some there was they just didn't have that portion. Like there would be people, like there would be a background investigation or a polygraph or that
Okay.
sort of thing, but there wasn't the psych assessment portion.
Wow, that's great.
I helped start that program, and I also did screening of people. I'd also do some pre and post deployment screening of people before civilians went to and from overseas.
Okay.
For several month to a year deployments.
Okay.
So I did all that for about 6 years. And again, all during that time, I was doing some part-time private practice as well. And then I ended up leaving my job with the Department of Defense, and I took and my Department of Defense job was a government job. I then took a job. I guess it was officially in the private sector. I was no longer a government employee, but I was
Okay.
functioning as a consultant, contracted consultant with the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Homeland Security, where I was also working on trying to start their pre-employment psychological assessment program. There had been a few high-profile incidents that happened, and it was determined that that was required. Unfortunately, there were some mission changes, and that never got off the ground. So they,
That's too bad. That would have been something really exciting to be a part of too, right?
was exciting to at least kind of get. I mean, I did get some good experience,
Okay.
presentations. I kind of got a little bit more into the belly of the beast of the federal government and learned a little bit more in depth about how things work. But unfortunately, no, it didn't quite get off the ground. So that position went away. But what I have been doing, and one thing I did forget to mention, in addition to doing part-time private practice,
Okay.
is that I'm also a I'm an officer, psychologist officer with the Army National Guard.
Oh, you forgot to mention that. Kind
Yeah.
of a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been an officer in the United States Army since 2010, and
Okay.
I'm currently functioning in that capacity to this day. So I'm continuing to do that, as well as I'm now started my own consulting, providing clinical and forensic consultation. So
Right.
the work I do right now is I do pre-employment psychological assessment of
Okay.
federal law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
Some of them, actually most of them that I've done, are people who they don't inherently work for federal law enforcement agencies, but some do. But
So, do you work with the private sector at all, or just within the government in some capacity? Like, what population are you focused on with your?
what population I'm focused on? Wh whoever needs me.
Okay, that's
Right
the
answer. So I mean,
right answer.
I guess you could say I'm, I work with, I work with there. A lot of my cases are federal cases, but I do what's I so I do a lot of pr I've done pre-employment with federal law enforcement. I also have done, I also will do fitness for duty within the government, as well as within the private sector, so companies. So basically, if there are employees
Okay.
within a company, whether it be the government or a company, so public or private sector,
Okay.
who may be in a situation where they are starting to experience some problematic behavior at work. Maybe they are showing a tendency of lashing out or engaging in some other unusual behavior.
Right.
I will be contacted to provide a psychological assessment to help determine, is there some kind of a behavior? Is there some kind of a mental health or substance abuse issue going on, or is this just this is a problem employee, handle it through, administrative means, whether it be counseling, firing them,
Right.
reassigning them, whatever the case may be.
So are you able to diagnose any type of disorder? Is that part of, like, I'm just kind of, is that what psychologists do? Are you able to
Yeah,
give a diagnosis, or?
I can diagnose. Now sometimes one of the kind of fine lines is I can diagnose, and that's often one of the questions, is if an individual has a diagnostic condition. But
Right.
another issue that is really actually more important to the organization is not inherently do they have a mental health condition, but do they have a mental health condition that is impairing their ability to do the job?
Right. That's fair. Yes.
Because there's plenty of times that a person may be depressed or anxious
That's right. Yeah.
or whatever the case may be, but it's not impairing their ability to do their job. They're at least able to do it, maybe not they're not a superstar, but they're at least able to do it adequately.
Right.
What they
Okay.
but they but what they want to do, what organizations often want to find out is, does this person have a diagnostic condition? Yes or no? Okay, now let's get the bottom line. Is this going to
Right.
affect their ability to do their job? So I will get so that's kind of like the nuts and bolts of the questions that I
Okay.
get when I'm doing these fitness for duty type evaluations.
And again, these type of evaluations, are they existing evaluations, or is something that you created these assessments as well, these evaluations?
Oh, I mean, I'm not taking any kind of credit for ever creating this evaluation. This is
A
these are
standard. Oh, okay.
yeah these are I guess you could say they're different places want something different, but no, these are common types of evaluations.
Okay.
A lot of people don't like getting involved in this type of work, because one of the issues that comes about is people are like, well, this might take, this could, a person could lose their job over this.
Right. Yeah.
And
That's
so heck, there was even a person who I evaluated a few months ago. I wasn't even recommending to take their job away. I just basically said, hey, this person needs some more treatment before they could go back to their job. This guy got a
right.
hold of me, called me, was threatening to sue me.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he was very angry.
Wow.
Fortunately, nothing like that happened, but
Right.
very angry. Like I said, and all I was recommending was, hey, get a little more counseling.
Right. Wow. Well, it sounds like he needs a lot more counseling then
Yeah,
if he wasn't
maybe a little
if
more.
he has a bit of
Exactly.
anger issues there as well, splinter lining issues there.
Exactly.
So I am curious about the consultations that you mentioned, consultations for attorneys and the court system. Because I watch a show called Bull. I don't know. Are you familiar with that show? Do you watch that show?
No.
Okay, so he's a psychologist, and what he does is he works with attorneys, and he kind of sets up the jury, and
Oh, yeah.
he like frame questions in order to try and like win a not guilty verdict for his clients. Do you work with lawyers in that capacity, or what do you do?
Well, I've worked a little bit, not quite that. I'm that deals with like jury selection and mock trials. I haven't done too much of that. There sometimes when an attorney uses me, they will sometimes dig around a little bit to find out, hey, what are some kind of like good questions that, either for the opposing side, or what are some questions that we could ask, that he could ask one of the other witnesses that could get him turned around a little bit. So I will get I do get some of that to those types of questions. A lot of the work that I do right now, which at least in the United States, it's kind of topical. I get retained by a lot of immigration attorneys,
Okay.
and so with my work with that, I what they want to find out is a lot of times a person who is in this country illegally for one reason or another, and there's many, many different reasons, and they come from all over the globe.
Okay.
So it's not just a bunch of people crawling across the Mexican border.
Right.
So, I've got clients that
I
I've got
gotcha.
clients all over. So, with that work I do, a lot of times they may be married to an American citizen, or have a
Okay.
child who currently is an American citizen. So for instance, the government is threatening to send the person back to their home country. And
Right.
so they ask me to do an evaluation on the spouse or on the child to address the various forms of hardship that the person will experience, meaning that the American citizen will experience if the illegal immigrant is sent back. So, because as I kind of tongue in cheek sometimes say, the government does not care about the illegal person. They care at least a little bit about the American citizen. So
Right, I see that. Yes.
essentially,
Interesting. Yeah.
is to do that. I will also I've also d done cases where I've also done cases where there is a person who is what they're trying to stay in the United States for the purposes of asylum. And
Okay.
what that involves is, so a lot of times people say, oh, a person's coming, oh, come to the United States, land of opportunity, land of opportunity. I want to create a better life.
Right.
Other people are coming to the United States because they are trying to get asylum, where they say, in my country, I am, they're threatening to persecute me because of my group affiliation,
Right,
because
right,
the work
right.
I do, the family I'm part of, the group of people I'm part of, my religion, da 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 da.
Right.
So essentially, I will do an evaluation to kind of to basically assess whether A, it seems like they're being like being truthful, whether they are, and whether they're experiencing any kind of mental health symptoms as a result. So all trying to as a method to help the court determine if this person is being, genuinely tortured and is and is is being truthful as to what they're saying, that hey, they left their country because of fear for their safety.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, so it seems that you do your specialties, evaluations and assessments, and so do you find that just in your everyday life, sort of you're just somewhere and do you find that you are observing people always doing that, or is it something, are you able to turn that off, that sort of psychology part of you, or is it something that you do all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give the good, great, classic answer. It just all depends. So I guess I sometimes.
Like, are you always evaluating people, or when someone says something, do you know what they really mean, or
Yeah,
you just kind of,
some people do that. Some people do that, and I don't know. To me, that's at sometimes that turns into just a little bit of pop psychology kind of stuff.
okay.
But at least that's my experience. But oftentimes, one of the things that I often find myself kind of doing is not inherently when I'm engaging in just a one-time conversation with somebody, but it's more like, okay, if I've seen a person several times, I start to notice a lot of psychology's
Their patterns, yeah.
and so I'm often trying to look for patterns in behavior.
Right.
And
Gotcha.
a lot of times I'm looking for, I guess, like one of the things I often do shy away from is, I know, like, a lot, let's say someone, you disagree with a person for one reason or another.
Okay.
So a lot of times people will just kind of give a very blanket statement of, oh, that person's just crazy.
Right.
Well, I try to shy away from that because very, 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 very few people are, by definition, crazy.
Right.
But I try to kind of think about what is sort of more or less that makes them tick.
Right.
Like I said, when I am simply just talking to someone, just quickly, no. But
Okay. But after a while, you kind of build up, just naturally you look for patterns and
I look for
kind of
patterns.
see,
I look to
right.
see how people, react. Like, does a person put so much stock into one particular thing? Why
Exactly.
is
Right.
that person constantly just so happy?
Right. Yeah, let's think about the good things. That sounds good.
Yeah, I mean,
Great.
it's, sometimes
Yeah.
I have this jokingly thing that I say is that, oh, this person seems like they're just trying to hide the pain. So,
I know, because no one's really
right.
that
Yeah, why would they be happier? Or just like, what is really,
Right.
a lot of
What's
times
driving that?
doing
Yeah.
that as a coping strategy, and they find
That's right.
functional about this way of doing things.
Right. Well, on this, happy note, if I can ask you to give me some tips for success, either in professionally or personally, are there any things that you can, any golden advice you can offer us?
Let's see. One of the things that I will often say is, at least for helping to achieve certain success, I think one of the key things that I've tried to do, and you can almost do this with almost anything you do, is to seek out opportunities. And there's not, it's really, really hard to, find, especially when you're younger. It's very hard to find, like, what is the dream scenario? What's the dream job? Especially if you're 22 and right out of college or something like that. But there's often very little substitutes for experience, and you a lot you, usually you don't know what you want to do and where you're going to end up. Trust me, I did not imagine I'd end up doing some of the work that I do. But it's a constant seeking of different opportunities. And one thing I once listened to, the guy from Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe, he did a video clip on Prager University where he talked about seeking opportunities. And so I've kind of, at this point in my life, I've kind of used that as a certain way of looking at things, as seeking out different opportunities. Because when I seek out different opportunities, you start to see, again, you start to see patterns, and you start to see how one opportunity you do can kind of set you up for different opportunities, and how you can learn, like, where you can see parallels, and you can bring and you take things from that new experience, and take things from new experience, and how the old experience is similar to the new experience. And I kind of take that, and that kind of resonates with me a lot, and because
That's great.
I've often said that, very few people know what they want to do. There aren't that many Mark Zuckerbergs out there
Right.
who somehow
That's
figured
right.
it out by 25.
Right.
People, scratch and claw and grind until
Right.
what works.
So it's about just being open to opportunities,
Yeah,
right?
that's
Being available, and
exactly.
that's a great tip.
So,
That's a great tip. Thanks for sharing that.
a lot of times it's go to the places that no one else will go.
Right. That's a great one. Okay, so are there any new projects or speaking engagements, anything you're working on that you want to share with our listeners? And then let us know where we can find you, Rob. I mean, you're doing some really great stuff here. Let's
Well,
tell us how we can get in touch with you.
I'm going to be doing a presentation on fitness for duty for the Employee Assistance Program, or the Employee Assistance Association of Washington, D.C. this summer. And so I've got that going on. I'm looking forward to that.
That's great.
I'm, trying to build things more up even more with doing, pre-employment and because a lot and fitness for duty, a lot of my work, like you've said, has been with the government and federal law enforcement, but I'm trying to expand that into more into the private sector. So that's pretty much where those are some of the good places. Those are some of the things that I've got kind of going on.
Well, that sounds exciting. And so, where can our listeners find you? What's your contact information?
It's Dr. Rob PsycheEvals.com. So Dr.
Awesome.
Rob Psych Evals. Psych is spelled PsycheEvals.com. Dr. Rob PsycheEvals.com.
That's great. That's great. Okay, well, this is such an awesome show. Thank you so much for being my first guest.
Okay.
I feel like we could, talk for hours. I'll invite you again and we can continue this conversation. It was so interesting. So thank you so much for your amazing insights and your valuable tips for success. And I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners did too. So that's it for this episode. Join me next week for another amazing episode. I would love to get your feedback and show suggestions. Any questions or comments? Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter and visit my website for executive coaching services at michellenasser.com. And you can pick up my new book, Leadership Assessment for Success, on Amazon. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to Michelle Nasser's show. And remember, success happens when you make it happen. Wishing you great success.